versus Commonwealth. Council, have you both signed in?
Yes, Your Honor.
I have.
Okay, great. Mr. Parsons? You will have 15 minutes. Do you wish to reserve any time for rebuttal?
I'll reserve 5 minutes.
Okay. You may begin whenever you're ready, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. May it please the court, my name is John Parsons. I'm here as the appellate counsel for James Jarmel Jackson. The case, obviously, it's a robbery case and the use of a firearm in the commission of a robbery. There's a factual dispute that occurred in the case, we would argue. The evidence, we believe, is circumstantial, and I think the Commonwealth has pretty much admitted that this is a circumstantial case. The victim in the case, Mr. Hildebold, was never asked to identify the robber in court personally.
Well, he was wearing a ski mask, so
right. The best
probably
he could,
explains why he wasn't asked to identify him.
Right. The best he could say was that the man had a ski mask on, which again indicates that the person had some holes for the eyes and the mouth, at least. Maybe the nose, we're not sure. He was a little shorter than me. He had a fairly deep voice. He had dark clothing. That's the extent of the identification that Mr. Hildebold gave in his testimony. My client was found later, about 15 minutes later, in a culvert with three other individuals. He was not found in the possession of a firearm. He was not found in the possession of anything that was taken from Mr. Hildebold. So the question is as to the sufficiency of the evidence in this case. And the point that I've raised is that we have a picture of a mask or a hat, stocking cap. We're not sure. We have a picture. The cap apparently was not entered into evidence. I was not the trial attorney, so I see nothing to indicate that the trial court actually saw the cap.
Counsel, that aside, the testimony was that it was a ski mask, correct?
Back and forth, certainly from Mr. Hildebold, yes, he said that the man is wearing a mask.
I think what Judge Decker's referring to is the testimony, wasn't the testimony that the mask that was recovered or the item that was recovered that you point out was not introduced into evidence was in fact a ski mask?
The
detective identified what he found as a ski mask.
Well, it's interesting when you read when I read the transcript, I hear questions of my client. Doesn't it have holes? He snickers in response. He doesn't say yes or no.
But the answer is yes, that the officer identified it as a ski mask.
The officer certainly, by his questions to my client, indicated that it was a ski mask.
Okay.
And I'm not sure he actually testified, though, that this was a ski mask that I found, or he didn't.
Weren't there other factors which were pretty strong, which would be pretty strong circumstantial evidence? For example, your client saying he didn't know the people he was with, and one was his brother, and the fact that they were the only people found in the area.
That's certainly, it's certainly an issue which.
Well, with circumstantial evidence, you can isolate the circumstances and say it's not enough, but you put them all together, and that's the whole point. I mean, the phone was found in proximity to where your client was discovered. The statements that were made about not knowing his own brother, the mask. I mean, there are a number of circumstances that individually probably wouldn't amount to much, but taken together would certainly seem to be incriminating.
Well, Your Honor, I would just point out that one thing I do want to note is that when the officer drove up upon the four people, and there were two people allegedly involved in the robbery, the officer drives up on four people, and they seem to to match the description and such. There's no evidence from the officer at that time that there are any pizza boxes or pizza bags in their possession. He drives up, they go running, he finds them in the culvert. Obviously, all of that is suspicious, but is it proof beyond a reasonable doubt in this case? Is there a reasonable hypothesis that my client was there that night, that he ran into these people, that he followed them into the culvert for whatever reason, but that he did not participate in the robbery earlier that night? And again, I guess, the one piece of evidence that was found on his body was that mask? And there's no clear evidence of eye holes in that mask. We had the officer asking questions of my client, did it have eye holes? But nobody came into court and showed the judge the mask. Now look at the picture, and I don't, maybe your picture is better than mine, but I'm not seeing...
No, it's pretty bad, but
okay.
That's why we're talking about the other evidence.
Well, right, and I asked if this was going to be a color picture in the appendix, and sure enough it was, but I don't see any eye holes in there. And the judge referred to this as the mask charade. I think the judge considered whether or not this was the mask that was used in this case. I think Mr. Bullard, in his motion to strike and in the renewal of the motion to strike, touched upon that. I perhaps wish it was a little clearer that he had touched upon that particular issue about the nature of the cap or the mask, the hat and mask as it's referred to in the appendix. But
well, and we recognize your dilemma here on appeal. These are all really good arguments at the trial court level.
Right.
And in fact, the judge made a credibility determination that he didn't believe the defendant's testimony. So all of that at this juncture, we have to review in the light most favorable to the Commonwealth.
Well, you can. The judge certainly could choose not to believe my client's testimony as to just running into these people that night. But I just go back to the mask and whether or not it was shown.
Well, as Judge Decker said, we appreciate your argument. Focusing on the mask is probably what I would do in your situation, but there's more to it than just the mask, it seems to me. I mean, for example, these individuals fled. That's, of course, evidence that can be considered. There's the fact that they're hiding in a culvert directly across, I guess, doesn't indicate the distance in the record, but I gather it's not far across the street from the culvert, is the pizza box that was part of the subject of the robbery, along with two cell phones, one of which belongs to one of the other people hiding in the culvert with your client, obviously. So, I mean, you put all this stuff together, and while, certainly your client offered somewhat of an alternative explanation, that was totally rejected by the fact finder. So the only remaining question, it seems to me, for us, based on the state of the law, is whether all these circumstances put together could lead a reasonable fact finder to conclude that your client was at least the principal in the second degree to this robbery.
Yes, sir. And I appreciate that, Judge.
You're trying to make chicken salad. We understand that. You're doing a good job.
I refer, again, back to the argument, and that's all I can do, Judge. I appreciate you considering and giving me the chance to present this to the court today. All right, thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
May it please the court, Rosemary Bourne on behalf of the appellate. Good morning, Your Honor. This, as you said, would have been a great argument to make to the trial court, but it actually wasn't presented to the trial court, because if there had been a challenge that the mask, the argument that was made was we don't know that this is the same mask. It wasn't that it's not a mask at all. That argument was never presented to the trial court, and probably very easily could have been resolved if it had been presented to the judge, which is why Rule 518 requires that.
Does it really even matter, though, in light of the fact that there's testimony that it was a ski mask?
No, Your Honor, and of course we've argued that. There was testimony from Detective Kovac that it was a ski mask. The victim described the robber as wearing a ski mask. And, in fact, the defendant, during cross-examination, was asked repeatedly by the prosecutor, did you have a mask? He didn't say, oh, no, it wasn't a mask, it was a hat. And let's remember that he had this in his pocket all day long and apparently wore it regularly. So the notion that he would not know whether there are holes in his own hat or not is all the more reason why the court could have disregarded his testimony and did. Moreover, there were other factors. The victim's cell phone was found with the cell phone of one of the other juveniles who was in hiding, I think the court could have inferred, in the culvert. close to where this robbery took place. All of this was in a very close geographical area and was marked on a map. The pizza box was found, the keys were found closely in that geographical area. And so for all of these reasons, it's not just that the defendant met up with these people right in that culvert. He told the police officer and admitted on cross-examination that he had been with them since 8 p.m. and this robbery took place at 8:30 or 8:45. So if he had been with these other individuals that entire time and one of the cell phones was found with the victim's cell phone, that is, I would argue, pretty damning evidence against him, pretty damning circumstantial evidence. And this specific ski mask argument was simply not made.
Did the Commonwealth prove whether he was the guy in the front or the guy in the back?
Well, I think that the victim did not see the guy in the back, so he doesn't know whether he was wearing a mask or not. But he did see the guy in the front, and the guy in the front was wearing a mask. So I'm not sure that matters, but given the other circumstantial evidence in this case, because robbery, whether he's the principal or principal in the second degree, is still guilty of robbery. So unless the court has further questions, I would just ask that you affirm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Parson.
Well, I guess just one final statement about my client's statement that it was a mask in cross-examination. And I think the words were flying around. The questions put to him, he just says yes. I would not put a whole lot of weight into that particular point as an admission on his part that this was the ski mask that was used in that. I would just leave that with the court.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll come down and greet counsel.